turn now to Luke chapter 23. Reading verses 44 through 49, found on page 884 of the Pew Bible. If you would turn also to Psalm 31, which begins on page 461. Beginning with Psalm 31, this is the word of the Lord. To the choir master, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily, be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God, my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. The hope of the Sabbath is the hope of eternal rest. The hope of entering into God's rest. The hope of entering into the place of his rest. When will we see that rest? We will see it at the end of this world. We will see it at the end of this age. When the heavens are rent asunder. When the heavens pass away. And the earth is at last exposed to the throne of God above. Then the way will be opened for the righteous to enter God's rest. Then the way will be opened into the place of his rest. For man to enter that rest requires that he pass through the day of judgment. For it is the judgment of God that stands between earth and heaven. It is the judgment of God that stands between this world and the next. The darkness surrounding the cross, a darkness over the whole earth, we find the day of judgment. We find the wrath of God. It is as though on the cross, Jesus reached the end of the world. The judgment he endured on the cross was the judgment of the end. The wrath he endured on the cross was the wrath of hell. We see what it brought us when the curtain of the temple was torn. For beyond that curtain lay the most holy place, the place of the ark, the place of God's presence, the place of his rest. The tearing of the curtain indicates to us that through the judgment of God upon Jesus, the way into his rest is now open in Jesus. That is why the author of Hebrews may say, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. The passing of the darkness tells us that the wrath of God was satisfied upon Christ. And the tearing of the curtain tells us that the way into his rest has now been opened in Christ. We see in the darkness of the cross the wrath that fell upon Christ. We see in the tearing of the curtain the salvation which he accomplished for us. But now we come to verse 46. Now we come to the death of Christ, when he breathed his last. And we hear him call out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He said this in fulfillment of the scriptures. I do not mean that he said it as though he were thinking that he needed to say it to fulfill the scriptures. I simply mean that his saying it was in fulfillment of the scriptures. But which scripture? We hear these very words in Psalm 31, which we read. Psalm 31, verse 5. "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." As with Christ on the cross in Luke chapter 23, the setting of Psalm 31 is the suffering of the Lord's anointed. In Psalm 31, we hear his cry for deliverance. And yet on the cross, we do not see Christ delivered. In Psalm 31, verse 1, we hear, "O Lord, let me never be put to shame." But in Luke chapter 23, we see Jesus put to shame as he endures the shameful death of the cross. In Psalm 31, verse 2, we hear, "Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me." But in Luke chapter 23, Jesus is not rescued by the Lord. Indeed, he becomes one forsaken by the Lord. In Psalm 31, verse 9, we hear, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and body also. My life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." And in Luke chapter 23, we do see the strength of Jesus fail because of iniquity, but not because of his own, because of ours. do not see the Lord being gracious to him, but to us. In Psalm 31, verse 11, we hear, I have become a reproach to my adversaries and an object of dread to my acquaintances. And in Luke chapter 23, we do see Jesus become a reproach as his enemies revile him. We see him become an object of dread as his acquaintances stand at a distance from him. In Luke chapter 23, we see the suffering of Psalm 31, but we do not see the deliverance. The setting of Psalm 31 is the setting of the cross. For in both we find the suffering of the Lord's anointed. If the deliverance hoped for in Psalm 31, this we do not see in the cross. For Jesus dies in shame, with his enemies gloating over him. He dies alone, with his Father having forsaken him, and his friends far from him. And so we may begin to wonder if the hope of Psalm 31 is an empty hope. For we do not see Christ being delivered from his suffering. We do not see him delivered from his enemies. We would not be alone in wondering this, for even his disciples lost hope in him. Even his disciples were no longer certain that they were right to have followed him. And yet we would be wrong to agree with them. But the hope of Psalm 31 is no empty hope. Consider all the words of this psalm and all the words from it that Jesus might have spoken on the cross. And now consider the ones which he did speak from the cross. Into your hands I commit my spirit. These are the words that one speaks when the end has come. These are the words that one speaks in the face of death. They are not words that one speaks when he hopes to avoid death. They are words that one speaks when he comes to the hour of death, when he knows that he must die. Consider these words. Consider when he spoke them. He did not speak them at the beginning of the cross. He spoke them at the end of the cross. He did not speak them as soon as darkness had covered the face of the earth. He spoke them only after he had borne the weight of that darkness. He did not speak them before the way had been opened, but only after the curtain of the temple was torn. Christ did not seek deliverance from the cross. These words were not spoken that he might avoid the cross. Why then did he speak them? He spoke them because of what lay beyond the cross. He spoke them because his work did not end with the cross. We give great attention to the day on which Jesus died. And we give great attention to the day on which he was raised from the dead. And we are right to do so. All the attention we have cannot exhaust the attention it deserves. We do not as often give attention to the day that lay between. The day on which he lay buried. The day on which he remained in the grave. But that day is no less important than the one before it. And the one after it. No less important than Good Friday. No less important than Easter Sunday is Holy Saturday, the day after his death, the day before his resurrection. These words of Jesus at his death. These words breathe hope for what lay beyond his last breath. Though he was forsaken by God, he committed himself to God. Though he endured the wrath of God, he committed himself to the justice of God. For he was the righteous one. And thus he knew that death could not hold him, that it could not hold him forever. But this judgment belonged to God. This salvation belonged to the Lord. And for it, he could only wait. Was for this reason that he spoke these words. Into your hands I commit my spirit. They are words of hope. They are the words of one who waits for the Lord. Consider how Psalm 31 ends. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who wait for the Lord. For the whole of his life, through all his sorrows, in all his sufferings, even in the midst of wrath, and at his last breath, Jesus waited for the Lord. He waited for the Lord to act. He waited for the Lord to deliver. He never lost hope in the Lord. He never lost patience with the Lord. Consider him who was righteous in every way, righteous in every thought, righteous in every word, righteous in every work. He should have borne no grief. He should have carried no sorrows. He should have endured no suffering. He should have suffered no wrath. But he did. And that beyond the rest of mankind. Yet throughout it all, he waited for the Lord. He did not deliver himself. He did not raise himself. He waited for the Lord. He waited for the Lord to deliver. He waited for the Lord to save. And had he not waited, we would all have perished in our sin. Had he not been patient, would all be condemned. Wait for the Lord. This Christ has fulfilled for us. This is the message of Holy Saturday. As we see Christ buried, bound by the cords of death, waiting for the Lord. But Christ did not only fulfill this for us, he also fulfills it in us. For we do not only have Christ for us, we also have Christ in us. For the same Spirit that dwells in him without measure, he gives this patience to us, that we might wait with him. That we might wait for him. These words of Christ, into your hands I commit my spirit. They are words of salvation for us. And as these words were upon his lips, so they also must be upon ours. We call you to wait for the Lord. To wait for him in the midst of grief. To wait for him in the midst of sorrow. To wait for him in the midst of suffering. To wait for him when he is silent. To wait for him in the face of death. To wait for him as you lie in the grave. They are words of power. They are words of hope. They are the words of your Savior. They are the words of your Lord. So be strong. And let your heart take courage. All you who wait for the Lord. What then shall we say? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Amen. Let us pray.